Happy Sabbath once again, brethren.
Happy Sabbath.
Today the title of my sermon is Be Ready at All Times. Be ready at all times. If I ask you, what is the greatest gift that you have today, what will you call it? If you look at the world and everything we have and everything we possess, you find out that the most important and the greatest is life. Life is the greatest gift that we have. It is not sold in any supermarket. We can't find it anywhere. We can't buy it from anywhere. And we don't have what it takes to buy it, if we even see where they sell it. But we can't find it anywhere. It only dwells with God. And God is the one that gave it to us. And he gave it to everyone, both the weak and the strong. And this is the greatest gift that God has given to us. And we don't know how much he has given to us, how much time he has given to us. He is the only one that knows how much time he has given to us in this world, how much time we have. So life is the most important gift that we have. What is the most important thing to do with life? The Bible said, wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get wisdom. So wisdom is the principal thing. And somewhere else in the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, how to manage this time that God has given to us? To do the right thing at the right time. So that, like Mr. Avelis was talking about being the first fruits, that when Jesus Christ returns, we will be part of his government and we will partake in his kingdom. That is very important. So the most important thing to do with life is to fear God and keep his commandment. And we must make sure that we have this ready at any time while we do other things. I want to take us today to the parable that Jesus Christ gave in the book of Matthew 25. The parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25. Matthew 25 from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamp and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were wise took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil and in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So this parable of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 were wise. And they were waiting for the bridegroom. So Jesus Christ, in this case, represents the bridegroom. And we are the 10 virgins. And from what we read, you see that these 10 virgins, they were all waiting for the bridegroom in different levels of readiness. Mm-hmm. The wise took oil and their lamps. They were ready from day one. And the foolish were waiting and waiting and waiting, believing probably that they have a lot of time. You know, the bridegroom is not coming today. We can get the oil at any time. Let's wait. And probably they were busy doing other things. But it's very important for us to be ready from day one, to make sure that we are ready at all times, so that when Jesus Christ returns, or Jesus Christ did not return, and God said our time on earth is up, we'll be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Look at what the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 1, from verse 10, about Jesus Christ. Acts 1:10. The book of Acts 1:10. This was Jesus Christ ascending to heaven. Acts 1:10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in the white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will return to this earth again. And we are like those 10 virgins. Are we ready? Do we have our oil ready and our lamp ready? Or are we still waiting for a time to come when we'll get ready? This place tells us that Jesus Christ will return, he will come back to this world. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Say, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." This place also tells us that Jesus Christ will return, and he is returning for us. Are we going to be ready? Are we ready right now? Are we ready right now? Let's turn to Matthew 24. Let's see what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24 about his return. Matthew 24, from verse 37. Matthew 24, 37. So Jesus Christ said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the day that we are before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So, it's not going to be anything special. It's not going to look like anything special. It's going to look regular. People will be getting married, people will be having children, people will be eating and drinking. Everything you see in this world today going on, we continue to go on when Jesus Christ will return. But who is the wise? Who is going to be the wise amongst us? And who is going to be the foolish amongst us? The wise amongst us will be anyone who is ready now. Who is ready now? And anyone who wants to be ready tomorrow or next year, or 2030, or 2050, I don't know. But God, the Bible wants us to be ready now. Have your oil and your lamp and be ready to shine. The Bible wants us to shine right now. Because God is light. And God does not have anything to do with darkness. So Jesus Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, we know what happened. Noah was building the ark and the people were, they were mocking him. They were enjoying themselves. They were busy doing what they love doing. Till the flood came. Our case will not be different. Our case will not be different. Especially those of us that are called now. Our case will not be different. And let's see what Ecclesiastes says in the book of Ecclesiastes 3:1 about time and season. Ecclesiastes 3:1. The book of Ecclesiastes 3:1. Said to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. So the Bible tells us there is time for everything. God has given us life, and God is the maker of time and the owner of time. When is the right time to do the will of God, to listen to the voice of God? When is the right time to do that? Right now is the right time to do it. Now is the right time to do it. Look at what Jesus Christ said in John 9. John 9. Jesus Christ managed his time on earth very well. He managed his time on earth perfectly. Look at what he said in John 9 about his time on earth. John 9, 4. John 9, 4. Jesus Christ said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ said, I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no one can walk. Like I said before, life is the most expensive gift that we have. And if God has given us life, and we are using life to satisfy the base things of this life, I don't know what we are doing with it. It's like someone giving you one of these expensive cars like a Lambo, and you're using it to carry garbage. Life that God has given to us is very expensive. And God wants us to use it. God wants us to use it for the purpose of serving him and for the purpose of having eternal life. And now is the right time to do it. Job 14:1. Job 14:1. Job 14:1. Job was a wise man. According to scriptures, he was wise because God himself said that Job was righteous. And look at what Job said during his trial time, his trying time. He said, man that is born of a woman is of few days, and full of trouble. Man that is born of a woman is of few days. We have to take all these to heart. We have to remember these things every time. That everything that we are, no matter what we are doing today, no matter how many friends we have, no matter how close they are to us, those are important. No matter the kind of job we do, very, very important. But we must understand that the most important thing is to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ. We have to be ready first, just like the five wise virgins did. We must be ready now. That is very important. That is the most important thing. Because a time will come, we will not be able to do the work of God. We will not be able to even know whether we are ready or not. Now that we have eyes, let's read with the eyes we have. Now that we have ears, and our ears can hear, and that we can think, and our minds, we have receptive minds, let's make use of all these to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ. The foolish virgins were waiting and waiting and waiting. Probably when they hear the trumpet, they will go and buy the oil and put it. Then they will go and knock, and Christ will open for them. But it doesn't work that way. Jesus Christ wants our light to be shining, before he returns. Look at what the book of Isaiah says, Isaiah 55:6. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Seek the Lord while he may be found. And when is that? Right now. Now is the time to seek God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. God is very close. The Bible says, "A virgin shall conceive and be with a child, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And God tells us that he is with us. So right now, God is very close. God is very near. And now is the time to seek him. Now is the time to walk with God. Matthew 7:7. Jesus Christ said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what a man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Now is the time to ask and receive. Now is the time to knock and the door will be open. Now is the time to seek and to find. It will not be like this forever. Now is the time to seek. Now is the time to ask. And now is the time to knock. A time will come when we seek, like the foolish virgins, we will not find. When we will knock, and the door will not be opened. But right now, God is near. God is near. And now is the time to seek, to knock, and now is the time to ask. Brethren, let's take advantage of the time and opportunity that God has given to us. Let's seek him. Let's knock on that door. God assures us that he will open. Turn to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13 from verse 11. Romans 13, 11. Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to be awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The night is far spent. If we are busy doing what the world is doing, we are doing it at our own risk. If we are busy with hating, envy, if we are busy with all this fight that is going on in the world, all these politics that is going on in the world, we don't understand the scriptures. The Bible says the night is far spent. We must pay attention to the most important thing, the reason why God has called us. And now is the best time to attend to that. The night is far spent. And this applies to everybody. I've seen people who live over 100 years. I've seen people die as young as 20, as young as 10. People of all ages can die and live. Life and death is in the hand of God. He gives to everyone as he pleases him. At any moment, let's live our life and make sure we are ready at any time. And make sure we are ready at any time. Let's be ready at all times. The night is far spent. So now is not even the time to be engaging in all this foolishness that is going on in the world. Now is the time to pay attention to the scriptures, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that God has given to us. For us to be the sons of God, if God has given us the Holy Spirit, we must let that Spirit lead us and lead us to God. And now is the time. There's no more time to wait. We can't be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And look at what Jesus Christ wants us to do in the book of Matthew 5. Matthew 5:14. Matthew 5:14. So you are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. How can your light shine without the oil? If we have taken the lamp without the oil, how can our light shine? Jesus Christ wants a shining light. Jesus Christ wants a shining light. If our light is put out or completely gone out, that's not what Jesus Christ wants from us at his return. So let your light shine. We must ensure our light is shining. We must evaluate and assess our level of readiness right now if Jesus Christ returns. But he says, let your light shine. Let your light shine. There is time for everything. There is time to seek God, and now is the time to seek God. I want to take you again to a story in the book of 1 Samuel 28. the story of King Saul, the first king of Israel. How he had opportunity to become a great king, to walk with God, but he took it for granted. And he lost that time and that opportunity. If you turn to 1 Samuel 28. So God commanded the prophet Samuel to anoint Saul the king of Israel. And after Saul was anointed the king of Israel, God, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and God gave him an assignment. God gave him a commandment and told him, go to Amalek and destroy everything in Amalek. I remember what they did to my people when they were coming out from Egypt. And God instructed King Saul to go to Amalek and destroy everything in Amalek. And King Saul went to Amalek, destroyed some, and brought some back home. And after he sinned against God, he did not repent of his sin. He was very proud of his sin. He said, I've done the commandment of God. I've executed the commandment of God. He did not repent. And the Bible says the Spirit of God left him. And God gave that spirit to King David. But something happened. A time came when the Philistines gathered to fight the Israelites. And Saul needed help. He called God, but God was nowhere to be found. He looked for Samuel. Samuel was gone. So there's time for everything, and we must maximize the time that we have. If you turn to 1 Samuel 28 from verse 4. 1 Samuel 28, 4. Says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shenim. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Galilee. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dream, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, see me a woman that hath familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. He could not, God did not answer him. God had forsaken him because he sinned against God. He mismanaged the time that God gave to him. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that had a familiar spirit in Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirit, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her, by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Because God did not answer him. He neither hears from God. Now he is doing the wrong thing. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God ascending out of earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said unto Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, am sorely distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answered me no more, neither by prophets nor by dream. Therefore I've called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then says Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thy enemy? The Lord hath done to him as he spoke by me, for the Lord has rent the kingdom out of thy hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done these things unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee to the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shall thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel to the hands of the Philistines. So Saul had his time to execute the commandments of God, but he failed. He failed. He was waiting for another chance. He failed and was waiting for another chance. He did not seek God while he may be found. And the time came. He called on God, but God did not answer him. That can happen to anybody. That can happen to anybody. This is not just a story. It happens even today. A time comes when men call God and God will not answer. But now is the time to call on God. Now is the time to knock on that door. Now is the time to seek and find. And we must make sure we are using this life, this precious life that God has given to us, to seek him and to do his will. If you turn to Isaiah 59:1. And this applies to all of us as well. Isaiah 59:1. Why was he calling and God refused to answer him? Why? Isaiah 59:1. And this is the same reason why the foolish virgins were knocking. And the Lord said, I know you not. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. That he will not hear. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what separates us from God. We must make sure every time that we evaluate ourselves, that we return back to God, that we, you know, build a bridge between us and God always, so that we will be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And now is the best time to do it. Say, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquities, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Do we take part in any of these? Do we say lies, no matter how small the lies are? No matter how small. Do we lie for any reason? Do we give justice to people that deserve it? Because the Bible says when the kingdom of God comes, that the lamb will dwell with the leopard, that everybody will live in peace. God will give justice to everyone. And if we are expecting a kingdom, if we are expecting a kingdom, we should be living our lives as if that kingdom were here already. Living in peace with our neighbors, speaking the truth. Everything that we expect and we want the world to become, let's live it and show an example of what we want the world to become. If We want the world to be at peace. Let's be peaceful people, because that is what we want. If we want the world, the world conflict to end, let's avoid conflict. Let's always forgive. Let's always reconcile. Let's always work things out. And the time to do it is right now. If you turn to Ephesians 6, instead of engaging in the foolish things that is going on in the world today, this is what we need to be doing as God's people. Ephesians 6, from verse 10. And it says, finally, my brethren, I'm not ending the sermon, I'm just reading what is written in the Bible. Say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is what we need to be doing. We need to be building our faith, our spiritual strength, every day by day. Say, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, stand therefore, having your loins about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your foot shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the Bible wants us, Jesus Christ wants us to equip ourselves with the armor of God. Most of them are defensive, protective, to protect our mind, to protect ourselves, but it also gave us one offensive, and it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Mm-hmm. And we must understand and know how to use this sword, and when to use this sword, like Jesus Christ used this sword when Satan came to him to tempt him. Jesus Christ defeated him with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Mm-hmm. And Satan said, turn stone to bread. Jesus Christ said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. That's how to use the sword of the Spirit. We don't use it to destroy our brothers and our sisters. We use it to defeat the devil. We use it to defend our brothers and sisters. So let's also understand how to use the sword of the Spirit. And let's learn from Jesus Christ, because that is one of the offenses that God has given to us. And this is what we need to be doing. We need to build our strength in the Lord. Say, be strong in the Lord. And we need to be strong. We need to be strong. If you turn to the book of 1 Corinthians 6:9. And it says, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revellers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, we must abstain from these things highlighted here, if we must be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. The center of this sermon today is time management. Time management. Knowing when to do what you need to do. And I'm reminding us and suggesting to us that now is the best time to get wisdom, which the Bible says is the principal thing. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom. Now is the time to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Because time and days are in God's hand, and we do not know how much He has given to us. If you turn to Isaiah 11, this is how we expect the world to be when Jesus Christ returns. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, 6. This is how we want the world to be. We don't want war in Ukraine. We don't want war anywhere in the world. We don't want the strong to oppress the weak. We don't want people to suffer. We don't want diseases. We want a peaceful world. And this is what the Bible tells us, what the kingdom of God looks like. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kids, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Who is that little child? The little child could be any of us who is willing to humble him or herself, to listen, to hear the word of God, and apply it in his or her everyday life. That's a little child. And we are expecting the wolf to dwell with the lamb. We need to be that to this world. In this world, where we are right now, we need to be peaceful people. We need to demonstrate what we expect God to do in this world. We must do that. We must start from our immediate family. We must ensure we have peace in our houses. We must ensure that we are at peace with our neighbors. We must ensure that we don't oppress anybody. Let's live a life as if we're already in the kingdom of God. And that is how Jesus Christ wants us to be living. By the time he returns, he wants to see our light shining and shining and shining. Like Mr. Pablo Avelis read about the entire creation waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God will manifest, but we have to start that manifestation right now. If you turn to Ecclesiastes 12, Ecclesiastes 12. The book of Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12 from verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Ecclesiastes was written by a king, a great king, one of the wisest person that ever lived and the richest that ever lived. The Bible tells us that he had so many wives and so many concubines. Had so many gold and silver. He tested everything he wanted. Anything. He said that anything he had desired, that he never deprived himself of anything that his heart desired. He was rich, he was great, he was wise. And he was committed to researching what life is all about. The most important thing about life. And this was what he concluded after all his enjoyment, all his experience, everything he passed, he went through, he wrote this, Ecclesiastes 12, and from verse 13. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of a man. Every other thing we do might be important, but this is our duty. We must secure this. We must secure this and have this secure while we do other things. We must not trade this for any other thing. We must secure it and have it ready. The fear of the Lord and keeping his commandments, we must secure this while we do any other thing we do. This is the most important thing. Say, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret things, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God will bring every work into judgment. God will ask us, the expensive life I gave to you, very expensive. Very, very expensive. Both the rich and the poor has it. Everybody. But the weak and the strong. And God wants to know what we did with this life that He has given to us. Wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, let's remember the great gift that God has given to us and use it for His service. If you turn to the book of Matthew 5:25. Why did Jesus Christ call 5 out of the 10 virgins foolish? And why did He call 5 wise? Let's see in Matthew 5:25. From my email. So it's Matthew 7:24. This is the reason behind Jesus Christ calling some foolish and calling some wise. Matthew 7:24. And this same thing applies to us as well. Nobody will call us foolish and nobody will call us wise. Only God knows who is foolish and who is wise. But Jesus Christ said this, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What is a rock? The rock is the word of God. The rock that the builders have rejected today is the word of God. And Jesus Christ said, if we hear the word of God and do them, we are like those 5 wise virgins. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. If we hear the word of God and we don't do them, and we are waiting for a certain time to come before we can do them, the Bible says we are not being wise. We are not being wise. Wisdom means hearing the word of God today and applying it in our everyday by day life. If you turn to the book of Matthew 24:42. Matthew 24:42. So the disciples of Jesus Christ asked him a question. They asked him, what shall be the signs of your coming? And Jesus Christ told them, gave them a long sermon, gave them a long prophecy. The things that will remind them that the time is at hand. He told them about wars and rumors of wars. He told them about earthquakes. He told them about false prophets. He told them about so many things. But why did Jesus Christ reveal these things to them? Why did Jesus Christ reveal all this to his disciples? Jesus Christ concluded by saying in 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Jesus Christ gave those prophecies, gave them all those signs that they will see so that we will be ready, so that we will prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. Do we see any of those signs today? Do we see wars? Do we see false prophets everywhere? Do we see all the things that Jesus Christ mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Matthew 24, that he said, know that the time is near. And if the time is near, what does he want us to do? 42, he wants us to watch. So watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So brethren, I want to encourage us to be ready at all time. Now is the best time to get our oil and our lamp and put them together. Now is the best time to trim our lights and make sure they are shining. Now is the best time to seek God and find him. Now is the best time to knock on the door and the door will be open. Now is the best time to ask and to receive. Let's not wait like the foolish virgins, because it might be late, because there's time and there's season for everything. And life and time is with God, and God is the manager of life and time. So I want to encourage us to evaluate ourselves always and ensure that we are always ready. Amen.